through the doors tonight, you are investing in the most important relationship this side of heaven, just beneath that of your relationship with the Lord. So as you are fairly accustomed, for the folks who are here week over week, generally when there's a couple up here, it's a time of testimony. Tonight, we have an opportunity to share a little bit about some of the things we've learned over the last probably 8 to 10 years especially, but just especially as we're headed into Christmas, we have limped along and at times barely survived the holidays, and most recently we have been able to figure out some formulas and tools and things like that that help us really thrive during the holidays, and we are excited to just share with you guys tonight the idea of thriving with your spouse during the holidays.
Yeah, that's great. All okay. Right. So it is. It's hard to believe that Thanksgiving is already behind us, and we're down to 19 days until Christmas. So before we jump into what we want to share with you tonight, though, let's have a little fun learning about how well you guys have communicated about the upcoming Christmas as of today. So I would ask you, raise your hand if you and your spouse have already put in place a spending plan for gifts. All right, we got one couple.
You still have 19 days.
Got 19 days. raise your hand if you've already talked about who you will buy gifts for, including each other. Have you had? Okay, some more.
Yes.
Raise your hand if you're the solo gift wrapper of your family. Yeah. Are there team gift wrapping? Yes, we have some team. All right, some couples do it together.
Okay.
Raise your hand if you're solely responsible for assembling the kids' toys and getting them under the tree. Yeah, I see a lot of men. Okay, good.
Oh, there's one back there.
Julie as well. Okay. Let's see. All right, this will be more like this or that. Would you open a present on Christmas Eve, or do you wait till Christmas morning? So give me your Christmas Eves. Yeah, one present on Christmas Eve,
yeah, okay.
Christmas morning, everybody else.
Yes.
Okay. How about artificial tree or real tree? Who are my artificial trees? Yeah, a lot of artificial trees. Okay. All right. Okay, so thanks for playing along with us. We just wanted to start out with a few lighthearted questions and just see kind of where we're at on communication and some of these things, and we'll get to a little bit more about communication as we move on.
So really, I mean, between Thanksgiving and Christmas, our gratitude-filled hearts can get sideswiped by things like negative communication patterns, unmet expectations, selfishness, and divisive busyness. The joy of Christmas can easily get overshadowed by worldly things. So tonight, we want to introduce the idea of committing to ask God to give us three things. One is the desire to draw near to Him through His Word. Two, that He would give us eyes to see the Christmas story with a fresh lens of awe and wonder. And third, a heart that invites and receives Jesus Christ as our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. So that is the overarching, really, where are we going to find joy? But additionally, we want to offer you some guidance and a handful of practical ways to pursue oneness with your spouse in the midst of an upcoming super busy month. Keeping fundamental truth central, we're going to touch on four topics that we think are worth talking about with your spouse in advance of Christmas Day. So in the context of the holiday season, and remember, this is in an effort to pursue greater oneness with our spouse, the four areas we're going to hit on tonight are communication, expectations, humility, and protecting your time.
Yeah. All right, so the first concept we will discuss is communication. Here at Reengage, you'll hear us say often that the goal of communication is mutual understanding. It's not winning the debate or winning the argument. Communication is about mutual understanding, okay? And it's also the key to all of the other concepts that we're going to unpack tonight, so that's why we're starting here, all right? James 1:19 says, "My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Did you hear the part about slow to speak? In order to accomplish the goal of understanding your spouse, you have to listen more than you speak. We're encouraging you to commit to check in with one another daily, especially if you're traveling. And we encourage you to keep short accounts. That's a term we use here a lot, which means be willing to talk through anything that might create a divide in your marriage quickly. Don't sit on that for a while. In a spirit of reconciliation and oneness, do it sooner than later. And also be willing to pull your spouse aside during this busy time and busy season and ask them how they're doing. Like, for a moment, slow down and look your spouse in the eye and say, how are you doing?
So for me, practically what that looks like is I have not traditionally been an open sharer, and I've had to learn how important it is to speak up for myself, to share my needs with Michael. It's really my responsibility to communicate verbally with Michael. He's not a mind reader as much as oftentimes I wish he was. He's not, and I really just can't expect him to be. So I get to proactively communicate with him.
Yeah. And then it's my responsibility to be a welcoming listener when Melinda is being courageous enough to share her thoughts and desires. I must be intentional to not invalidate her as she shares. Rather, I need to listen with an open heart and an open mind. All right, moving on. Topic two, expectations. Expectations are attitudes and thoughts regarding the way things could be or should be. Unmet, differing, or unspoken expectations can easily create tension that leads to conflict in marriage. So James 4:1 says, "What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desire that battle within you?" So you have to remember that the holidays involve relationships on so many levels. So we encourage you to sit down and discuss what each of you expects from your Christmas celebrations several days in advance of time with family, friends, coworkers, or neighbors.
So the fun questions we asked you to start off this teaching, I mean, those are important little details. They can seem insignificant sometimes, but those are the very things that can sometimes be at the heart of our conflict because of unmet expectations. If you grew up with an artificial tree and all of a sudden you're getting a natural tree or vice versa, right? It's just like, wait, I didn't expect that. I'm not okay with that. So in addition to those topics we discussed early on, we want to encourage you to really stop and say, what will Christmas Eve look like? I mean, really map it out so that you can go into it with agreement, with unity, and experience it together. How about Christmas Day? Here's one. How long will you stay at a family member's home? Decide it in advance. And here's a pro tip. If you've ever gone through and been like, wow, we stayed too long, here's where you get to plan in advance. You create a code word, a signal, something. And I'm being serious here, guys, like where you're like, hey, it's time to go. And respectfully so, but to really just say it's time and know that you're communicating that with each other up front so it's not awkward in the moment. And then also, if you're traveling, visiting hometown, et cetera, do you want to spend special time with your siblings, cousins, hometown friends? Like, talk about that now so that you have good expectations when you get there. And again, all of these, as simple as they seem, can lead to significant conflict if not addressed in advance. And this is where family of origin traditions really significantly influence our personal expectations around the holidays. So it is important to communicate your desires and plans with your spouse as well as with extended family to help minimize conflict.
Yeah. We talk about Genesis 2:24 a lot, which says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So when you married your spouse, what you once called immediate family before marriage instantly became your extended family. This concept in biblical terms can be described as leaving and cleaving, and it takes thoughtful intentionality and often takes years for people to do well. It's an ongoing learned practice that requires prayer and wisdom, but it is important to prioritize your spouse's and your children's desires and needs while still showing honor to extended family. And you have to understand that not all extended family will understand this or embrace it. Some may even be really hurt or feel dismissed. So it's helpful for each of you to communicate directly with your own parents or siblings about the sacred significance of why you believe it's important to prioritize your spouse and children first. We encourage you to pray for wisdom and ask the Holy Spirit to speak through you during those conversations, because we know that they can be difficult.
Yeah. We were introduced to this concept about 8 years ago when we first got plugged in with Reengage. So over the last 8 years, we've continuously been growing in this area. My extended family has never communicated well with each other, really in an effort to maintain peace in the home. No one spoke their desires or expectations for fear of rocking the boat. That would maybe create conflict. And so around here, you would hear us call that peace faking, but we thought we were peace making. So I brought that into our marriage, and it has definitely impacted our past holidays, resulting in disappointment, frustration, even anger, which are all natural responses to unmet expectations. I can think back specifically to a Christmas vacation, 2017. We traveled to my sister's house in Las Vegas. It was my nephew's first Christmas, and due to my lack of communication with my sister and poor communication, or rather expectation setting on our part as parents with our girls, they were ages 11 and 8 then, it was an extremely frustrating trip. It was a disappointing Christmas morning. It was exhausting. Like, we weren't even excited to be around each other. So my people pleasing and peace faking contributed to the tension that prevented us from celebrating joyfully together. We are constantly growing and still learning how to do this well. This year, my people pleasing nature would have forced a trip to be with my family, but I knew that traveling in this busy season of life change would be extremely hard for me, Michael, and our girls. So I communicated clearly and early that we would be staying home. Was it disappointing for my extended family? Yeah. Will I be intentional to celebrate and honor my extended family in other ways? Absolutely. Yeah. Yes.
All right, let's jump into our third idea of the night, humility. Philippians 2:3 says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." So humility in marriage plays out in how you demonstrate sensitivity for each other's needs. So when going to your parents' or your siblings' home, consider taking with you this mindset as you walk in. How can I make this experience as comfortable for my spouse and children as possible? To best serve one another, it's important to understand one another. So keeping James 1:19 in mind, like we talked about, be quick to listen and slow to speak. We encourage you to discuss some of these questions when you think about upcoming time with extended family. Ask your spouse, how would you feel best cared for and loved? What are you most fearful of as we walk in the door of my parents' house? What are you most excited about as we jump into the next 4 hours with extended family?
Yeah. It's also an opportunity to ask each other, do you think there is any unresolved conflict with my family that needs to be addressed prior to our visit? This question's a good one, can be a little hard, but do you feel like I treat you differently when in the presence of my family? Again, be quick to listen, slow to speak, especially in that moment of maybe having to hear something hard. This is where humility can start to apply beyond the marriage and toward the extended family, but you can say something along the lines of, what are some ways we can connect with each other's family? And a fun fill in the blank is just thinking creatively. The best way I could serve your dad, mom, family member is to blank. And that's a really fun way to be able to start to show humility toward extended family. This has changed a lot for us over the last 3 years since we moved to Texas. Michael's family lives here as well. We see them quite regularly. So instead of having these conversations once or twice a year, Michael really has embraced this as a lifestyle. He's always looking out for me and tries to protect me from things that will burden me. And our most recent example is that when neither his sister nor his mom offered or volunteered to host Thanksgiving, he didn't volunteer me. I almost volunteered myself, but instead we all went out to a hibachi Thanksgiving.
It was amazing. And it's funny, we're sharing examples, you about my family, me about your family. But I recall a time when I knew I needed to be more humble around Melinda's family. And it wasn't coming as naturally as I would like it to. So to help me, just like I used to do when I was a kid and I needed to remember something, I literally wrote on my hand, James 4:6. And it just stared at me all throughout the day. James 4:6 reminds us that God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And in that season, that scripture reference was all I needed just to see out of the corner of my eye on occasion to help me be more humble, gentle, and servant-hearted to Melinda's family, even though I knew that meant taking a back seat to all the decisions about where we went, what we did, and when we did it.
And again, this takes practice, so be patient with yourselves as you start to put some of these tools into practice. That we are on to our last encouragement that will help you thrive this Christmas, and that is to protect both your time together, but also to protect your quiet time with the Lord. This looks like allowing margin to be renewed daily by God's word and God's spirit. It's avoiding overscheduling with others to keep your marriage healthy and to keep you from being exhausted. I don't know about you, but when I'm tired, that's when I'm most vulnerable to not being kind or gentle or humble.
Yeah, let me jump in on this.
Yeah.
Praying out loud together. I know that that is a huge form of intimacy for Melinda and I know that it keeps us close. On days when we do that, we're much closer than days that we don't. And so during the busy season of the holidays, if you're maybe in somebody else's home or in a hotel room or whatever it may be, even if when you open your eyes, before you even get out of bed, maybe that's when you have to take that moment, 2, 3, 4 minutes to just pray out loud right then and there before you even put your feet on the ground.
And if you're not quite there to praying out loud together, commit to pray for one another daily. We also want to remind you to just be slow to jump in with the masses by first spending time in God's word. And that helps when you have a reading plan in place so that you just know, like, oh, I wake up and this is what I'm supposed to read today. And if you don't currently have a reading plan, I highly encourage you to join the journey. It's in our Advent reading season here at Watermark, and you can just go to jointhejourney.com and jump in tomorrow. And another option is just to try and sneak in a short walk or steal away to the backyard for a check-in with each other. Protect that time together so that you have an opportunity to stay united. And this is all true if you are hosting people in your home. I know for me, when my parents come and stay for a week, my rhythms get completely shaken. But I have to fight against that. And when I do, the trip goes so much more smoothly. So really fight to maintain your unity.
Great. All right. As we close tonight, we want to let you know that even if you did everything perfectly that we talked about tonight, conflict will undoubtedly still arise in at least one relationship over this Christmas season. So to encourage you, we want to close our time together with a short video, which we hope will inspire you to train well over the next 19 days so that you don't just survive the holidays alongside one another. Rather, you thrive as one. So take a look at this video.